We're going to be talking about addiction. It's a disease that affects 1 in 10 people in the United States, and it's often fatal.
You can join in the show. Have you battled addiction in your life, or has someone close to you? Call in and share your experiences, and hopefully maybe your story of recovery, too. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email talk@WPR.org.
Our guest for this segment is Dr. Harry Haritunian. He is the author of Being Sober, a step-by-step guide to getting to, getting through, and living in recovery. He is the physician director of the Betty Ford Center. Doctor, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
I'd like to start with your story a bit. There's a narrative that runs throughout the book that sort of outlines your journey, and it begins and ends in Vermont.
That's right. I practiced family medicine in Vermont for 35 years, and part of my story was being a solo family practice physician, oftentimes the only one in town, very few boundaries on getting a good night's sleep, or you simply could not be unavailable, the stresses and strains of that kind of practice, plus my own family's history of the disease of addiction certainly came together in a perfect storm. And as you can see in the book, I got into my own personal recovery some years ago.
Yeah, and in the book, the story in Vermont begins when you meet a rookie police officer who arrests you for a DUI, and the journey continues throughout the book. It ends when you meet him again when he's wearing sergeant stripes.
Yeah, that's he was being trained that evening. Actually, the training officer was a longtime friend of mine who I knew very well. And I actually knew this young rookie cop, told him to do his job. Some years later, we met, and he had actually become a state trooper. We met on a one-lane wooden bridge in Vermont, and I got out of my car, approached the trooper's car, and thanked him for saving my life.
And tell me also about your journey from being that doctor in Vermont to becoming the physician director of the Betty Ford Center, because there's a story there, too, and you both treat patients, of course, but being the physician director at Betty Ford's a very different thing.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say it's an absolute pleasure being interviewed by someone who's obviously read the book. So thank you for that.
Sure.
You know, as that process around the DUI became evident and I had to deal with it and speak with the authorities, I was approached by the Vermont State Physicians Health Program, a wonderful program that exists now in about 46 of the states. I never knew it existed. But it's a specific program that helps physicians in need of help for the disease of addiction to get it and to be able to get successfully treated, find recovery, and get back to work. It was through these folks that I was referred on to the Betty Ford Center. I did so voluntarily and with some great enthusiasm. I had seen this disease at work in my family. My brother and my father both died of this disease, and I certainly didn't want the same fate, so I got fairly proactive, entered the Betty Ford Center as a patient the first time. Embraced the recovery and found a whole new way of life. I went back to Vermont for 5 years. I knew that my solo family practice was really a dinosaur kind of practice that was just too much for one person. The hospitals needed to come in and take over with multiple physicians. It was too much for one person. I studied and took my boards in addiction medicine and became board certified and was offered a position by the people at the Betty Ford Center, where I had continued to go annually as a volunteer and a lecturer after my recovery.
So let's talk about the book a little bit. Who is the audience for this book? It's described as being a step-by-step guide, and it really is, as you look through it. Is this designed for people who are addicted, for families of those who might be addicted, or for who?
All of the above. The book was designed really as a reference, a guidebook for the identified patient or soon-to-be-identified patient, that person primarily afflicted directly by the disease. But we know that this is a family disease, and everyone needs to get help or the outcome is not great. So it's for family members. It's for healthcare professionals, anyone who has a loved one or a friend that needs to know more about the disease and how to approach them, hopefully getting rid of the stigma that prevents treatment and intervention, and allowing people to begin the healing both personally and as a family unit. So we hope that anyone will be helped by this book. It's also a very simplified guide. Some of the literature is a bit complicated. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, for example, is a somewhat tedious volume for someone to understand early on, and people need to have sometimes that literature explained. There is an attempt at that also in the book.
You mentioned the word stigma a few minutes ago, and throughout the conversation you've been referring to the, you know, addiction as a disease. And, you know, even in 2013, I'm not sure that everybody believes that they believe it's a disease, that, you know, it's not just a weakness of character or something. Is that something that you still run into?
Oh, I run into it constantly including my brothers and sisters in the medical profession who need to have enormous efforts at educating medical students and physicians out there in practice that this is a disease, much like diabetes or hypertension. It is chronic, organic disease of the brain. It's lifelong. It is not curable, but it is absolutely treatable one day at a time. Again, much like diabetes. But most people have some sort of personal history, someone afflicted in their family, some encounter while in college. They remember the alcoholic or addict on the streets near their home. They have distorted images rather than the successful people that we often treat. Sometimes the paper bag toting wino is the only image that they can get. People searching through dumpsters. There's an enormous stigma about this disease that's shrouded with shame and indignity, and it oftentimes will force people into malignant denial and shield them from the help that's out there and so readily available. So we're trying to have people get access. They're sick. They need to be treated. They don't need to be punished. And that's the way we approach it.
And one of the things you talk about, you spend a considerable amount of time in the book talking about a concept of the high-functioning addict. And could you discuss that for a minute or so?
Well, that just happens to be a personal area of specialty for me. I have a professionals program at the Betty Ford Center and a wonderful team of treating professionals. We deal with physicians, pilots, attorneys, business people, entertainers, people who have oftentimes arrived at the juncture where they needed treatment, not because of enormous failure, but sometimes because of their success. People who have had financial success or professional success oftentimes feel entitled. They feel like they, more than anyone else, should be able to control their use of drugs or alcohol. They find themselves trapped, just like everyone else. There are no special people in this game. Everybody's playing on an equal field, and alcohol and drugs are equal opportunity destroyers.
And we'll have to leave it there for the break for the news, and when we return, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Harry Haritunian, the author of Being Sober, a step-by-step guide to getting to, getting through, and living in recovery.
You can join in with your questions and experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett.
And I'm Gene Purcell. We're talking with Dr. Harry Haritunian this hour. He is the physician director of the Betty Ford Center and the author of the book we're talking about, Being Sober, a step-by-step guide to getting to, getting through, and living in recovery.
You can join with your questions, your experiences at 800-642-1234 or send an email, talk@wpr.org.
And we've got plenty of callers who would like to join in, and we begin with Lynn, who joins us from Eau Claire. Hi, Lynn.
Good afternoon. I lost my brother to the addiction to alcohol January 2nd of this year. And begging him the last 20 years to get help. My brother was brilliant. I think the first truth of addiction is lie. It was all lies. And I held his hand, and there was no place to turn, because he was he could make that decision to destroy himself, and there's so many victims.
Lynn, thanks so much for the call, and we are so sorry for your loss. Doctor, as you hear Lynn's story, you sort of hear the helplessness, I think, that goes along with a lot of the family members who deal with family members with addiction or close friends with addiction. What advice do you have for someone like Lynn who might be listening right now, who might have a close friend or a loved one who is having some of these symptoms, who has the disease?
Well, I also would like to express my feelings about your loss. Very sorry. I actually carry the ashes of my deceased brother on my keychain, a little fob that I have, and introduce him when I speak at lectures to remind people of the fatal nature of this disease. Your brother didn't choose to die. This disease hijacks the brain and simply makes alcohol and or drugs, in the case of addiction to drugs, a top priority, more important than life itself. It's not a choice. It is a disease that affects that portion of our brain that deals with survival. So with a hijacked brain, we really have the deck stacked against us when someone adds to that denial or resistance to help. But for families, it's critical to know a couple of things. First of all, help doesn't mean that you need to come up with $100,000 for treatment. Help can be as simple as calling someone else who you may or may not know in recovery to bring someone to their first 12-step meeting. Even if a family member will not get help, it is imperative that the family members themselves get help. And we oftentimes will start the healing in a family first by the persons who are not afflicted by the disease directly, but the family members. So organizations like 12-step meetings for family members, Al-Anon therapy, individual therapy, drug counsel organizations throughout each and every state dealing with drug abuse are usually available and offered. And the healing can begin sometimes in that way. There's a way to network with other people whose families are in recovery. Sooner or later, some help will come along, and the healing can begin. So for those of you who don't have such unfortunate stories as the caller, we encourage you to seek any and all help that's available through these agencies and through this 12-step programs or individual private counselors.
We've got another call now from Claudia, who joins us in Madison. Hi, Claudia.
Hi. My question is, I have a nephew that is going through addiction problems, and he's been in an institution for a couple of months, and they said it's a treatment, short treatment for 7 months, and he get out. But right now he's experimenting some voices, and I would like to know what is the relationship between the addiction and his and mental illness, because that's something that kind of goes together. But we, in this moment, we don't know how to or where to go in order to be treat that addiction or mental illness. I don't know how that is connected. I don't know if it's because he did too much drugs that his brain got damaged.
Well, let's put it to the doctor, Claudia. What about that when there is a mental health issue involved in the addiction?
Well, oftentimes mental health issues and addiction will go hand in hand. It's called dual diagnosis. Oftentimes the mental health issue may be substance related and will improve greatly when cessation of the use of alcohol or drugs happens, and oftentimes the psychiatric problem is an independent disorder which needs independent individual treatment. It sounds as though that may be the case, since usually in institutions people are screened and monitored for drug use. So assuming that your relative is abstinent right now, psychiatric help and evaluation would be what is needed for sure. There are medications that can absolutely help, and oftentimes I need to say this, that independent psychiatric problems may need proper evaluation and medication and does not preclude good recovery from alcohol or drug dependence.
We have time for a quick call from Jim, who joins us from Johnson Creek. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Okay. I am an addict, and I'm in recovery. Been clean for, 4 years now. And I just wanted to say that, you know, absolutely, if anybody out there is getting to the point where they're getting tired of it or getting desperate, that there is definitely help. And there's, you know, I mean, personally, myself, I'm going to AA. I know that addicts are generally supposed to go to NA, but it doesn't feel right to me, and there aren't as many NA meetings out there as should be at this point, with the problems coming across Wisconsin and the United States in a whole. But, you know, there's always help, and the doors are always open at the meetings. And, you know, if you're getting to a place where you just are getting tired of the same old garbage that comes with that life, by all means, look. Go online to alcoholicsanonymous.org and find a meeting.
Jim, thanks for your perspective. It's really good to hear that. Dr. Haritunian, a good place to maybe end on this is we heard Jim's story, and in your book, you know, you talk about the step-by-step guide, but at no point is it implied in the book that this is an easy process.
Recovery is a lot of hard work. It's a very simple program, but it takes determination, it takes prayer, it takes a lot of effort. So it's simple, it is not easy, but one day at a time, sometimes 1 hour at a time. The message of the book and the message to all of your listeners out there is absolute hope. I have never seen a hopeless case. And always hold hope out that someone with the right help and with the right intention opens them up to the grace of some higher power, whatever they may choose that to be in their life, other than themselves, and help is always available.
Well, Dr. Harry Haritunian, thanks so much for joining us today.
I greatly appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
We've been talking with Dr. Harry Haritunian, the author of the book we've been discussing, Being Sober, A Step-by-Step Guide to Getting to, Getting Through, and Living in Recovery. He is the physician director of the Betty Ford Center.